101.9
FM broadcasting
live from
Vancouver,
Musqueam Territory in Vancouver,
British Columbia,
Canada.
I'm trying to find you.
Nice warm bed. You just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
All right, so you're tuning into the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association networks, and we are on both two of our radio stations, the full hour on CITR 101.9 FM, which is right now, from 9 o'clock until 10. The second part of our show, our half-hour show, is on Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM. That's on 100.5 FM. It's also on cooperadio.org. The CITR broadcast and live podcast is on at citr.ca. And again, I'm Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin, or Michael Clogs. I can't even,
depends on how you find me, right?
Exactly. Mostly on Facebook, you're on Michael Clogs.
That is correct, on Facebook.
And yes. Speaking of Facebook, we are also on the public group. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/CLivingRadio. So, and then, of course, you can always email us, communitylivingradio@gmail.com, communitylivingradio, all in one word, @gmail.com. So, why don't we get on to our show? Michael, you have a guest on Skype, or is it through Facebook?
It's actually through, if we're back to Facebook again.
We're using
Facebook Messenger today, which, and we have Diane Hume with us. She is a Bennett Stellar University graduate, highly skilled and certified in NLP based personal and professional life coach. She brings over a decade of experience to her coaching business, both as a leader for a profitable marketing company and through her individual coaching success. Diane's coaching experience is in growth and development and personal and business relationships, as well as team building.
I got to get that copy from you, from your notes.
Yeah, we'll get that copy so we get it into the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That's quite a bit there, Diane.
Yes, it's a few years of time there.
Yeah.
I'm really excited and happy to be on your program for the very first time. And I'm excited to learn even more about you. And about it, about your, what your mission and vision is as well. And actually, when you sent it to me, it's quite in alignment with me as well, Michael.
Okay, so a little background here for everybody. And then we'll get on to your story of how you got on the path you are. Diane and I met, I guess it was like a couple months ago, but we were discussing yesterday our goals in life for how many lives we actually want to touch or reach, and we both were in alignment. We both came up to what was it? 1 billion lives we wanted to touch?
Yes.
and how possible it really is to actually do that, especially with today with social media and in everything that we have to have to reach out to people. So yeah. So Diane, on with your story. How did you actually wind up becoming a life coach and all?
Yes, the way it all started was I was in the direct selling network marketing business, and I at first went into it because I thought, oh, this will be a great way to get to know people and stand up in front of people and sell product that I really, really enjoyed. And it turned out to be much more than that. And I had three teams of 30 that just exploded. And there were many lives that I was changing. There were people that some of them had been abused and all kinds of different things. They couldn't get away because of their whole, they didn't have the finances, they didn't have the confidence. And my seminars and my workshops that I had to help them to grow them in their business gave them the confidence and security to move forward and to go from invisible to visible mm-hmm. in life. And it was definitely the most passionate area that I felt when I saw this growth in people, as well as seeing it in myself. Helping them to grow helped me to grow. And some things went on in my life where I had to end doing that business, I felt, because first of all, my daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I was running everywhere to get to all these meetings, and in the hurry, I actually gave her too much insulin.
Oh.
And yeah, so her, and then I was just going to give her the insulin and have her dinner, and then she's going to go to bed, kind of thing. And I actually gave her before she went to bed, I gave her her dinner insulin instead of her bedtime insulin, which means that it's a very high dose to bring down the carbohydrates.
Right.
So I was to be on stage to be delivering a presentation for my business, and now I've given my daughter too much insulin. And she is 6 years old, and she's looking at me, Mom! And, okay, I got to go to Tim Hortons, and I got to just buy her a whole bunch of donuts or something, like really, really fast, and just bring her sugar, and we just got to, like, dose mm-hmm. her with sugar. And then I just came to the reality that, you know what, something has to give here. I'm not going to be doing this business for a while. And focus on my family. And then shortly after that, my father died of cancer. I was at his bedside. And I was there for everybody else. And I still had that full calling that all those people that I won't be touching now, all those people that won't be touching me because I have now pulled myself away. And that's when I came to the realization that it's about the leadership part of my business that I loved so much. And it was about the coaching that I loved so much. So then I had gotten in touch with my good friend in Phoenix, Arizona, who has been, we've been friends since that's when my son was in grade 7 and he's now 22, so That's a few years. And I've been continually saying to her that it's the leadership, it's the coaching, it's the changing lives that I'm passionate about. And she said, you know what? I know of a course that Bennett Stellar is putting on. And I think it would be beneficial if we both went. I think it would help both of our businesses in the future. So that's when I went and got certified in the hypnotherapy, neuro-linguistic programming, all of that to assist me in continuing to grow the lives of others and also help my own family, because shortly after, it was 2004, where my husband was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. So there was a lot of fluctuation of blood sugars and emotions going on in the house. And I just knew that there's got to be a better way. And I found out so many great, along with all my leadership skills, to also add all these modalities to help my own family and then to also be out there helping so many others. Mm-hmm. And this is somewhat, we moved to Alberta, now we're back here in Vancouver, and that was my dream to get back here. We're here now, and I've gone full on with my coaching business now, and I do one-on-ones and presentations and all of that. But that's kind of how it all led up to this.
Yeah. So, how has the NLP helped your family?
Okay, so NLP really teaches how to change our state, mm-hmm. how to change our state of mind. So when we're in that turmoil of sometimes it is the high blood sugars that in the diabetes, but all of us go through where we go into a frustration state and anger and blame and all the way to I'm not good enough. I'll just stay in my comfort zone. I feel guilty about this. I feel shame. I feel anger. I feel resentment. So many self-talk things that we do. And it's all those things just stop us. And it's actually really hard on ourselves and our heart. Every fiber in our body feels like it's a marination of negativity that starts to happen. And if there is a way, like, it's important to feel that and recognize that. I'm not saying just stuff it all down and ignore it. No, that's not the case. But so many times the thought that just leads us to that feeling, just that one thought, it's usually a belief, and so many times that belief is not true.
Right.
So it's really important in NLP, they teach you question that thought, be curious about that thought. Is it really important to go into the angry state? Mm-hmm. And does it serve you? Whereas you can go into a different emotional state of what is really needed. So if you're angry, frustrated, say, because, maybe I'm not on the right path. Maybe I'm doing this for nothing. Oh, my gosh, I seem like I'm getting nowhere, whatever the things is. Well, okay, that was my thought just before I got frustrated and angry. So what if I am on the right path? How would that feel? So it's that question. Well, I would feel engaged. I'd feel connected. I would feel confident, secure, I'd have freedom, I'd trust myself, I'd feel love, all these
Right.
great feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a choice, NLP just helps us to anchor it after we figure out what it is we're thinking and whether or not that belief is true or not. And that can open up a world for anyone, because we all have our minds. That's one thing we all have. If we may have any other disability or of any kind, the one thing we all have are our thoughts. We have our thinking. Isn't it great that something like NLP can actually anchor in a different feeling about the way we think about what it is that's really upsetting us?
So instead of struggling through, you're still going to have the struggle, but it changes the struggle from that one of, oh, the whole world is against me, to, well, wait a second, maybe I just need to endure a little bit longer and I'm going to reach my goal. Is that how this works?
Yes. So say you're just saying that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again, just what you said.
If I endure a little longer, I'll reach my goal.
Okay. Just before that, you said, okay, so I'm in this state of not the positive. It's the negativity.
The struggle against the negative. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So say something that you would feel that would be a struggle, for example, or that you have heard people struggle with.
What I usually say, it feels like the whole thing's going sideways.
Well, that's another way of putting it, Michael.
It's usually what I say.
It's very difficult for us positive people sometimes to go into that negative feeling. I know that you and I have that.
Yeah,
being on the positive realm.
I guess I've heard other people say that, oh, well, it's all stacked against me,
right.
things like that.
So the negative metaphors.
Yeah.
I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Finding somebody, the right person's like finding a needle in the haystack.
Mm.
Finding clients is like a needle in a haystack, whatever
yeah.
it is that they're struggling with. Mm-hmm. Or having people that will support me is impossible because nobody likes me, or like there's all these different things. And that's right where you would just stop yourself for a minute. Is it necessary to go into the spiral of this question? Because our subconscious mind is 95% and our conscious mind is only 5%.
Right.
So when this conscious mind goes and asks out there, why is it that no one likes me, say? So you're asking a question that is a negative question. So then your mind has to go to that and find reasons why people won't like you. It just will have to, because that's the question you're asking.
Okay.
So it's getting into the what if everybody likes me? Just what if? Like if we're so inclined to just go, what if nobody likes me? Or not even what if, they say actually nobody likes me.
Mm-hmm.
Why not say, what if everybody liked me? Now the possibility of everybody liking you is not maybe, it's not really important, and it's not maybe even realistic. However, if we can throw out the what if negatively, why can't we throw out an overempowering positive to what it is that would be just amazing?
Right. That makes sense. Okay, so hold on right there, and we're going to bounce off to Kelly for he's got to do a station ID
and stuff
so.
Like that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So this is the Community Living Radio Show, Community Living Show on the National Campus Radio Network, and we're speaking with Diane Hume.
Hume, yes.
H-U-M-E?
I'm saying that right.
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
All right. So we'll be back with her in a moment. Stick around. We will be back.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a clothes.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
There's a lot of talk about expectations in the April issue of Discorder. The expectations that we set for ourselves and others, and how we act when those expectations are not met. Experimental sound artist Ian William Craig discusses the nature of success. Bridget Gallagher makes us think about moshing in a new light. Una Craig dissects gentricide in the downtown east side. And April cover artist Janine Frey and Jute Lee advocates for the protection of caribou, amongst other things. Thanks to this month's advertisers, CITR 101.9 FM, the Rickshaw Theater, Timber Concerts, the Rio Theater, the Wise Hall, Live Van, Alex Cuba, the UBC AMS, Red Cat Records, High Life Records, Audio Pile Records, Neptune Records, Jazz Records, Mint Records, the Rickshaw, RSD, and Doxa. Welcome to a new season.
This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. And so we're with Michael and... yeah, and of course, we're on both radio stations, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5, and we're also on CITR 101.9 FM, both on the Vancouver stations. Anyways, the ship is yours, Michael.
Yeah, we're back with Diane. And so, Diane, we talked a bit about the spiraling negative emotions. What about the how do we go about building it into a positive emotion using the NLP?
Okay, in NLP we call it anchoring in the feelings and thoughts that we want to have when we need it, so that it doesn't get out of control. And the other reason why I'm so passionate about this is when I was 6 years old, I witnessed my grandfather holding my grandmother over the railing and her kicking and screaming and saying, "Are you going to stop nagging me about my drinking, or am I going to have to drop you over the railing?"
Ouch. Wow.
And I believe no six-year-old, nobody should witness that. Nobody should have to go through something like that, just out of pure frustration and not knowing what to do about the frustration. Just that anger and frustration can really lead to some terrible, horrible, horrible things. Not only does it hurt ourselves, like I said before, it can kill someone.
Yeah, that's so pretty. Yeah,
it's really, really important. So to find NLP and to find a way to anchor in what it is what is the learning from this for me? I do timeline release coaching through NLP, and I found this incident in my timeline, and I needed to find the learning from it. So the learning that I got from it actually was, so the positive intention of what it was that my grandfather was doing. Because first reaction is, oh my gosh, this guy is absolutely crazy, terrible, put him in jail, whatever. However, if I go back in the and if I kept that turmoil in my body, even if it was in my unconscious mind, it would not be good for my health. So when I went back in my hypnotic timeline and figured it out, I found out that what he really needed, what positive emotions and what positive learning he really needed, was he needed love, he needed connection, he needed security, the acceptance. The love and acceptance was a huge, huge emotion, feeling, and learning that he needed to know how to have for himself. He needed to know how to give that to himself. Because if it wasn't coming from the others, okay, I'll drink, I'll do this, I'll do that, because that will give it to me. That will relax me. That will calm me. That will, and yet it does the complete opposite, because the anger and frustration of not having the feeling of love and acceptance is overwhelming. So imagine that you can go to a time where you actually felt love, where you actually felt accepted, and feel that in every fiber, every cell of your whole body.
Right.
And when that feeling comes to you of the anger, frustration, in my grandfather's case, just pick her up and throw her overboard, because, and at the end of the day, my grandfather drowned. He was drinking and he went down to his boat and he drowned and he died just behind the sugar refinery here in Vancouver.
Wow.
And, it all came to not being able to control the emotion and be able to get, not really control, but to accept in an emotional state that works.
Right.
So when I go into, say, love, I think about something that was very powerful to me, and that was, for me, it was giving birth to my daughter, my firstborn.
Well, so, that's a good one.
I get into that. I remember what that felt like. I know where it felt in my heart, and I fill myself up with that. So then I'm not saying to my husband, it's your responsibility to make me feel loved.
Right.
I can fill myself up with it first.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the outside gets attracted.
Yeah.
To me.
Kelly, you had a question.
No, I was scanning for you to get a question ready for it.
Oh.
Okay, so that's how I get that a positive emotion. That's your
question. Yeah, I you know, and I understand your anchor with giving birth to your child. The first time I held my firstborn is like I was able to hang on to that through a pretty what could have been conceived as a very negative experience. So yeah, with a divorce and all that stuff. So yeah, so you know, you gave a really graphic for instance of how negative emotions can get us out of control with your grandfather. It was like I can't even imagine witnessing something like that. But What would be the reverse? What do you think would be the outcome for that same person who's feeling so negative about themselves that they have to keep using a substance the way to gain acceptance or gain love? How could NLP turn that around for them?
Right. Everything we do is for a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. So okay. When we choose a substance to mask another feeling that we don't want, that's usually the case,
mm-hmm.
so that we can get the feeling that we do want. So I ask somebody that say, okay, just before you reach for that, we'll just use alcohol for an example. Yeah. Just before you're about to reach for that drink, what are the thoughts that are going through your mind just before you start to pour that drink? Just before. And many times what I hear is, I deserve this. I've worked a long week, and mm-hmm. I deserve to have this now. Mm. And okay, so that's your reward. Now, what feeling do you get once you've given yourself that reward? Well, I feel calm, I feel relaxed, I feel like I can socialize better, I feel that I'm more confident, and just, I just feel good that way. So, right. What if the anchor of just feeling that, those feelings that you get from having that substance, the general feeling of mm-hmm. your emotional state of relaxed, calm, sometimes I hear that about smoking too, that well, it relaxes me, it calms me.
Mm. Right.
What if it's a matter of just like a light switch that we could just go into a calm, mm-hmm. relaxed state and to feel that feeling already before pouring or before lighting a cigarette? What if we could just fill that feeling up, I mean 100%, all the way through our body, every single fiber, every cell, feeling that relaxed, calm state? What if it's not really necessary anymore? And this is what I hear over and over again. I can feel that feeling now, and I don't need to have that. And of course, it can take time.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of one-on-one coaching, staying connected weekly, making sure that what we're doing is continuous and that still able. But sometimes what happens is there is something in the timeline that keeps popping up that they're unaware of that still will get them to feel that they need that to get to that state. So what we do then is we go and find out what that is and get the learning, the positive learning, and implement it again and get more and more anchors to get them into that emotional state that is required without the substance.
Right.
So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that does kind of answer the question, because there's so many people you brought up the two big ones with alcohol and smoking.
And possibly marijuana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Possibly marijuana. Instead of it just made me curious. It's like, okay, because it sounds like a very powerful tool. mm-hmm. and how it could change somebody so that they would see that they can keep their mind clear all the time and not have and still have a positive emotional state. So what are some of the steps that you, when you first start working with somebody, what are some of the steps did you get them to so they start turning things around?
First of all, I need to find out more about them, how they work. Right. Do they like the big picture when they work on a project, or do they like all the details and what motivates them? Say, what was their first thought when they woke up that morning? Because that first thought is usually what motivated them to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I hadn't thought of that. But it makes sense, right?
So believe it or not, everyone has motivation if they got out of bed this morning.
Otherwise, they just stay there.
Yeah. Some people might be listening to this in bed right now going, oh.
Hey, I'm the guilty one here, too, sometimes. There are times where I don't do anything because I'm not doing anything during the day. And then it's just like, okay, completely blank.
Yeah. So, but the days that you did get out of bed, then you can go back to that time.
Yeah.
That's what's so neat about emotions and states. You right. can go back to the time, well, what made me get out of bed yesterday morning? Oh, yeah, I had to walk the dog. Dog, whatever it is.
If you have a pet and stuff, yeah. Of course, I don't have a pet myself, so.
Yeah. Yeah, or it can be. Well, what was it for you that got you out of bed yesterday?
So we got you out of bed yesterday, Kelly.
Don't mention about it. Don't mention about it. It wasn't much, so.
It can be I have to go to work.
Well, there are times, yeah. I mean, right? Tomorrow
or
I'll
I
be.
Need to shower.
Yeah, there are times where.
Shoot, I got to answer that email. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. You want to take a break
words
early?
Were yesterday, and that now you're not doing it. Oh, use the same words to get you out today.
Yeah. Do you want to take
it? Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. My wife and I, she has paper routes around. We deliver newspapers every morning around White Rock.
Almost and, 7 days a week, am I guessing?
It is exactly 7 days a week.
I thought so.
Yeah. So, I hadn't thought about it as like, it's the motivating thought is, oh yeah, so-and-so is going to want their paper soon.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that.
I was going to same thing about tomorrow because I'm doing a Meinhardt's dishwasher on Fridays and Saturdays now from noon till 9:30. So I have to like get up around 10 or no, around 9 or 10 around there just to prepare for the work, right?
Yeah. That's exactly what you're getting at, right?
Yeah.
It's a part of the preparation to get ready to do whatever you need to do for the day, right?
Yes, and there goes how visualization works, right?
Mm-hmm.
You visualize that you have to deliver papers on the days you don't.
And if you don't, you're
He'll
fired.
Get you out of bed.
And if you don't, you're fired. Type of thing.
You can think about consequences, the negativity part of it.
Right.
Or, like Michael said, oh my goodness, if I don't get out of bed right now, those people will not have the paper that they need
for
the day. Right? I like being motivated by love and trust rather than fear and doubt. Like,
well, doesn't the fear and doubt, is that kind of leads to those frustrating feelings, right?
Exactly. So if you're starting your day with, well, I don't want to get fired, there's a good chance that you might be walking around with the black cloud on your head going, I don't want to be fired, so I'm just going to keep working, towards not getting fired. And to me, that's not so motivating as to what it is that you're going to be doing for people that day, or what it is that, whatever it is you're doing, if you're at a retail store or whatever, the people that you're going to smile at that day, oh my gosh, they're going to miss my smile today if I don't get out of bed. Right? Like, but I mean, I want them to have that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We need to get to another break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
All right.
All right. So you're listening to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We're here with Diane Hume, who is
a life and NLP coach.
All right.
Is that right?
Yeah, transformational NLP practitioner coach. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be back with the final thoughts and all of that in just a moment. We'll be right back.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
The F-Word Conference is a student-organized event hosted each year by the GRSJ undergrads on the UBC campus on Musqueam Nation land. In its eighth year, the F-Word's focus this time is A Year in Review, Activism, Solidarity, and Navigating Oppressions. It's Sunday, April 30th, and will include panel discussions from students and keynote speakers, workshops, networking and community-building opportunities, and a free meal and snacks throughout the day. Join us for a meaningful and thought-provoking day of feminism and social justice advocacy. You can get updates by following the F-Word Conference on Facebook and Twitter at GRSJ Undergrads.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the pop underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
You're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We are both on the Vancouver stations, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5, and CITR 101.9 FM. All this, of course, we're going to be re-edited for tomorrow, which is Friday, of course, that we do on our Co-op Radio station, so for our half-hour stations.
Kelly does such a great job at it.
Yeah, but we only do it like five questions of it, and and then the show's over, right?
Yeah.
So that way we do our full hour show, so we get all the questions in it and done.
Yeah.
So
that reminds me, you probably want to ask me at the. Are we on? Right.
We are on.
We're on.
Oh,
we're
on.
And that's Diane.
And that's
our guest today.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Yes. And she's our transformational and NLP coach. And we were going through some of the steps that you take to actually learning how you need to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So where did we leave off?
We left off with the morning routine.
The morning motivator. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Right. What it is we say to ourselves just before we get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And you might even want to keep a little journal. I find that really helpful about what it was that motivated you one morning to the next to get out of bed. So those days where you don't feel like it and you want to be able to get on with your day and to be out making a difference, whatever it is, just even cleaning your bathroom or whatever it is,
right.
You can, even though it's delivering the newspaper that motivated you yesterday, you can still use that feeling that you got
right
to get out to go clean the toilets or whatever it is you need to do that you don't really want to do.
Well, again.
Because everything we do is for a feeling.
Right. So What would be the next step after after you discover what actually motivates the person?
This leads them to a vision. This leads them eventually to what it is that they really, really want, what their dream is. Because days go on to days of the negativity of not good enough, all of that, and all of those thoughts lead to possibly just staying in bed all day or doing something that is not serving your vision and not serving your mission. And I believe that everyone, no matter if they have business or they're retired or they're whatever, everybody should have a personal vision and mission statement. Everyone. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest thing, because when I get off course and or doing things that really is just wasting the day or not serving me, all I have to do is just read my vision, read my mission, and say, is this in alignment with who I want to be, do, or have in my life?
Right.
And then it kicks me, because it's, oh my gosh, definitely this is not going to serve me or anyone else right now. Mm-hmm. So it just puts things into perspective for motivation and to live the life of your dreams. Because when you're in that fear and doubt, but still in a comfort zone and just staying there, that can be a real actual killing zone. Yeah. It can be a real killing zone.
Okay, did I understand you correctly that you said that people can actually exist in the fear, doubt zone and be comfortable?
Well, they can feel fear and doubt when they look at sometimes if the vision's there, mm-hmm. and they don't believe it. So it'd be, I'm not going to do that. Maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should just, it's pretty comfortable in bed, pretty comfortable. And it can be because of the state of fear and doubt that we stay just comfortable.
Right.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I guess in some respects we can actually use the bed as a metaphor also, because if you're staying in that, well, I'll just stay here, I don't have to go do that anyway, that I will only fail at that. It's sort of, if you're in that mode, that would be the same as staying in bed, shall we say.
Yeah.
Because you're sleeping your life through.
Exactly. And then years go by and you think, wow, you know what? I was actually given an opportunity to go to that event and I didn't go. Mm-hmm. And now I've gone, but that was 5 years ago. Too bad I didn't do that now. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. Maybe it wasn't the right time. However, you can really learn from that. You can really learn that. Take the opportunities that are in alignment that the vision can actually occur from just that one event of just learning something new, tuning into this radio station and just picking up that one nugget.
Yeah.
can change so much in someone's life. And by not tuning in, we sometimes don't get the message that we really, really need to hear. Hmm. Or if I would have stayed in fear and doubt and not taken this opportunity today,
right,
what could have maybe not happened, that might happen, mm-hmm. all of that, right? So
the you being here today was really a very chance opportunity.
Yeah.
The guest that we had scheduled, and I'm going to shout this out for her. Roberta Shaler, she's actually in the hospital right now, recovering from something. She didn't really want to get into it over the phone, and I didn't want to keep her on the phone because she's supposed to be, if you're in the hospital, you're supposed to be there resting, healing. So yes. I didn't want to keep her. So we had an opening, and I had when she contacted me, I had just, we were scheduled to talk yesterday anyway, is what it was. And I was like, hey, I wonder if Diane would want to do the show, and you were available. And I was like, so it was really cool. So.
And I have to say that when you first said it, because you just told me yesterday, mm-hmm. I did go through that. I went, well, I'm not really ready. I'm not really understanding everything that he wants from me and what he needs. Maybe I should tell him that I'm not going to do it today, that I need more time.
Yeah.
And then I went, this is exactly what you teach, Diane. Like, mm-hmm. this is the opportunity. I didn't have a client this morning, and it couldn't be better timings. So, what you need to, and is it in line? Is it in alignment with my vision to inspire 1 million people to live an abundant, trusted life? Oh
yeah.
My gosh, yes, it's getting the message out there. This is completely in alignment. Get on the phone.
Yeah.
So thank you for the opportunity.
The point in all that we all do it though, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all say no, I'm gonna flop at that anyway, so why bother? So how do we turn that around into let's get going and let's do it?
Soon as I got, I only let those words come into my mind. The maximum it can come into your mind is 17 seconds. That's where I, otherwise it starts to get root. It starts to build,
mm-hmm.
and it really makes it so that you will not do what it is to be in alignment with your vision. I'm not sure. I think, Michael, that you're aware of law of attraction.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, law of attraction. Yes.
Yeah. So, our thoughts are magnetic, and they do create feelings. And so, if I stay in that thought for more than 17 seconds, I'm going to get right into the stop. I'm going to get into that. Complete, I'm not good enough, insecure, comfort zone, that leads to not my vision. It leads to, it keeps me comfortable. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's another emotional state where I get into, frustration, anger. Why didn't I do that? That was such a great opportunity. And I said no because of whatever the thinking was, the thinking pattern. So it's really good to toggle, mm-hmm. toggle, right?
Right.
Get out of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
does that answer that?
Yeah, yeah. So when you get people to this point, then what happens?
Well, it's the beauty, first of all, of, oh my gosh, I never thought of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so when I'm thinking this, I could think this, and then I would do that just from a thought. So when we get into that thought of, well, maybe I don't really want this anyway, or those types of thoughts, when they realize that, no, the vision is important to me and to so many others, and I'm going to go forward on that. Does that answer that question?
I think you did.
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah.
And you know what's really funny is when you're doing a talk like this, you have to go into the emotional state of how you felt before you change, you toggled it to the positive emotion. So what happens to me, and this is what happens with my speaking sometimes too, I have to go into my negative thought for a few seconds because in order to explain it to you. Mm-hmm. Right. So then I can start to hear my voice starts to, like my throat starts to close.
Right.
And I start to lose the confidence. Mm-hmm. I start to actually feel that way and want to run out the door.
Oh.
So it's like, so that's how important it is to not let it go for more than 17 seconds.
Right.
It's really, really super.
You don't want the roots to grow.
Important. What's that?
We don't want the roots to grow on that thought.
Yes, exactly. So back to confidence, security, freedom, trust, yeah. Love, acceptance. There.
And you're doing a great job at this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So are you.
Thank you. So, this is really important stuff. So I want you to give everybody your contact information so that hopefully what will happen is you'll get to talk to more and more people about this whole one-on-one. So how does everybody get a hold of you to find out more information and learn how they can make NLP work for them?
Yes, you can. I do have a website. It's somewhat still under a little bit of a construction, but it's good. I've grown a lot more since I started it, but it is dianehume.net, and you can reach me through that, as well as my Facebook Dream Receiver page. The name of my business is Dream Receiver Coaching, and I have that, and I also have an event coming up on April 24th, and it's at the Van City in Burnaby, just Royal Oak and Kingsway area. I wrote down that. I think it's 5085 Kingsway.
Okay. And that will be on a Monday.
It starts at 7 o'clock. You can find it through Eventbrite as well, and as well as on my Dream Receiver Coaching Facebook page.
Okay.
So. All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to your event on Monday.
Yes, I'm very excited. Yeah, make sure you sign up, and we'll be going through all kinds of neat techniques to get you to your dreams. It's called Shape Your Dreams, and everybody has them, and get you to your vision.
All right. Okay, thanks again, Diane.
Thank you, all Michael. Right. Really, really appreciate it.
And I'll talk to you a little bit later.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was Diane Hume.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So on our next week's show, we have Ben, who's going to be talking to some musical guests.
Yes.
So that'll be next week. If you want to email us, email CIR. That's my other show. CommunityLivingRadio@gmail.com. All in one word, just to let you folks know. CommunityLivingRadio@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. And I believe we are connected. I mean, Gmail is connected with YouTube. So anything that we try and post and stuff, we can either by YouTube or mostly on Facebook. So,
yeah.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Kelly.
And we will be back again next week.
Yeah.
Same time, same station. Please stay tuned for upcoming shows. And we will be back again next week. Have
and
a great day.
Don't forget to support the radio stations that you're listening to, because most of us all are volunteers and we need funds to keep going.
Exactly.
Yep.
Have a great day, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
my heart, and we'll never be worlds apart. Maybe in magazines, but you'll still be my star. Baby, 'cause in the dark, you can't see my shiny car. And that's when you need me there. With you, I'll always share. Because when the sun shines, we shine together. You know I'd be here forever. Said I'll always be a friend. Took an oath and I'm sticking out to the end. Now that it's raining more than ever, know that we still have each other. You can stand under my umbrella. You can stand under my umbrella. Will never come in between. You're part of my entity, here for infinity. When the war was took its part, when the world has dealt its cards, if the hand is at its heart, together we'll mend your heart. Because when the sun shines, we shine together. You know I'll be here forever. Said I'll always be a friend. Choking up and I'm sticking out to the end. Now that it's raining more than ever, other. You can't stand under my umbrella. You can stand under my umbrella. Oh, under my umbrella. You can run into my arms. It's okay, don't be alarmed. Come
Hey folks, Scott Brado here.
Ground control to Major Tom.
You are listening to CITR 101.9 broadcasting beyond, on from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Protein pills and put your helmet on.